So this is a really, really important Bible story, right? So you listen really, really, really good, okay? And on the way home, you can ask them about the story to see if they listen really good, because they may not know this story. I want to tell you about the man who was judge after Gideon. Now, Gideon's mentioned in that verse that David read to us a few minutes ago, right? That verse chapter they read in the Bible from Hebrews chapter 11 talks about all of these great men, and it puts Gideon's name in there. When we talked the last time, we had family Bible story about Gideon. You see Gideon up there on the screen? And you see that gold thing that he's throwing down? The last time we had that family Bible story, we talked about the fact that Gideon took his army, and his army had 300 men in it. And they went out and killed all of these bad, bad men, 120,000 of them. And they wanted Gideon to be king. So they tried to get Gideon to be king. And see, they put a crown on their head. Did you ever get a crown on your head? Have you been to Burger King? But this wasn't a Burger King crown they tried to put on his head. It might have been a goal. He didn't want to be king. And they came to Gideon and said, "Gideon, we want you to be king. And we want your children. We want your children to be king. And we want your grandchildren to be king." And you know what Gideon said? "I don't want to be king. There's one king, and guess where he is? Up in heaven, and it's God." He didn't want to be king. And then Gideon died. Well, everybody dies, right? The Bible says everybody's going to die, and someday I'll die, and someday you'll die. We'll all die someday, right? But Gideon died, and they took him into the city, and they buried him in the city. Guess what? Gideon had a son. In fact, he had more than one son. How many sons do you think Gideon had? More than 20. More than 21 or 22. You know a bigger number than 20? More than 30. More than 40. More than 50. But he had one son. It was really a bad son. And his name was Abimelech. Abimelech. And so Abimelech went to the people over there in a city, and the name of the city is Shechem, and said, "How would you like for me to be king instead of all my brothers? Had you rather have one man to be king? Because Gideon's not there anymore." And I guess everybody thought, "We'll just take one of Gideon's sons and make him in charge." And so he said, "You don't want to have more than 60 people to be ruling over you, do you? Tell you what, do. I will become your king. But to do that, you got to give me some money." And so the people said, "Okay, we want you to be king." So Abimelech and the people there in Shechem went into a place where there were idols. You know what idols are? They're big things made out of rock or wood or something. And people bow down and worship the wood. That's funny, isn't it? Can a wood thing see you? Can a rock see you? What if you paint eyes on a rock? Can it see you? What if you cut hands into that wood? Can those hands help you? Nope. Does God have eyes that can see and hands that can help? Yeah. But they didn't worship God over at Shechem. And so they went in there, and this is the place where the idols were. And you may be able to look way back up in the corner over there. That might have been what one of their gods looked like. And they got some money out of there. And Abimelech took this money and went out and hired some bad guys. Because he's got a problem. He's got some brothers that may get in the way. How many brothers has he got? More than 50, more than 60, 70 brothers he had. And he told these bad guys, let's go down to where all of my brothers are, and I'll give you some money if you'll kill them. Abimelech was not a good man. And so he paid these people money to kill all of his brothers except one. Jotham escaped. He didn't get killed. And so then Abimelech went to those people at Shechem, and they went out, and the Bible talks about they went out under a tree. I don't know why they went under a tree, and they made Abimelech to be their king. You know what Jotham did? Jotham came to where all the people were on the top of a mountain called Gerizim, Mount Gerizim. And he got all the people were there. And at Mount Gerizim, you could speak and you could hear really, really good. And so Jotham said to the people, I want to tell you a story. Now, this story that he's telling is sort of like a fairy tale. The story is a made-up story, but it's a great story. Let me tell you the story. He said, out in the woods, there were a lot of trees. And all the trees out in the woods said, we need to get us a king to be over all of the trees out here in the woods. Does that sound like something that was happening? You know, it was a story. But he was trying to talk about trees, and he wasn't really talking about trees, was he? He was talking about the people who wanted to have a king. And they came to the first tree that was there, and it was an olive tree. And they said to the olive tree, will you be our king? And you know what the olive tree said? Nope. So they came to another tree, and that tree was a fig tree. And they said to the fig tree, will you be our king? And the fig tree said, nope. And so they came to the grapevine, and they said to the grapevine, will you be our king? Nope. We don't want to be your king. And then they came to something that was like a weed called a bramble bush, a little tiny bush that was there, not a big tree. And they said to the bramble bush, to that weed that was growing out there, will you be our king? And guess what the bramble bush said? Yes, I will. Now, wonder what he's talking about. Wonder who the bramble bush was that said, I will be the king. You know who it is. It's Abimelech, right? And all of these other priests evidently talk about the sons of Gideon, or Gideon and all of his sons. And all of the good guys, the big olive tree and the fig tree and the grapevine, those things are good. No, we don't want to be your king. No, we don't want to be your king. No, we don't want to be your king. And they found a weed over here, and they said, will you be our king? And he said, yep, I'll be your king. And then Jotham said, let me tell you what he said. He told those people in Shechem that what you have done is right, like killing my brothers and doing all of these things, if that's right, then may God bless you. But if what you have done is bad in killing my brothers, then let God bring his judgment against Abimelech and against this city because you've done that which was bad. And then guess where he went? After he told those people, he left. The Bible said he ran away because he had said, if what you men at Shechem have done is good, then let God bless you. But if what you have done is bad, then let God destroy Abimelech and the bad people in this city of Shechem. Well, they had a king, and his name was Abimelech. You know what? They got so they didn't like Abimelech. After a while, after about 3 years, they didn't want Abimelech to be king. So Abimelech had to go out and sort of live outside the city because there was another man in the city that said, I'd be a better king than Abimelech is. And Abimelech said, I'm going to go inside that city and I'm going to kill everybody that's in there. So Abimelech got his men and they went inside that city at night and got everything ready. And the next day, Abimelech took his men from the mountains and they went inside that city and burned the city down and tore up all the houses that were in there and poured salt on the ground so nothing would ever grow there. Wait a minute. That's what Jotham said, right? If what you've done is bad, then let God destroy this city. You know who destroyed the city? Abimelech. Yeah, God did it. He just used Abimelech. You know what happened to Abimelech? This is weird. There was a tower there at that city, and they had to get the people that were in. There were 1,000 people in that tower. So Abimelech took a leaf of a tree and got all of his men to take leaves of a tree. And they went up to where this tall tower was, and they laid all of those leaves, all those branches of the trees that were there, and set them on fire to destroy all those people that were up in that tower. Yeah. And so Abimelech is there under there and seeing this big tower. It's the last part of that city, and Abimelech is there, and a woman up on top of the tower takes a stone. Called a millstone. That won't mean anything to you. Your mom and dad will tell you what a millstone is on the way home tonight. But they took this stone, a woman took this stone and threw it off. Guess who it hit? You got it. It got him.
Because he was a bad one who was trying to destroy the city.
He was a bad one trying to destroy that city, right? But he did not want everybody to think that a girl had killed him. Yeah. Not that some woman killed me because I'm a great big king and I'm a great soldier. And don't let anybody think that I let a woman kill me because I'm tough. But he's dying. And you know what Abimelech does? He says to his servant, so that nobody can ever say that a woman killed me, take your sword and kill me. And Abimelech died. Abimelech died. Well, you remember what Jotham had said? If what you've done is good, then God bless you. But if what you have done is bad, then let God destroy the city of Shechem and let God destroy Abimelech. And so God did it, right? He used Abimelech to destroy the city and he used a woman with a stone on top of a tower to destroy him. But he didn't want to say a girl killed me. And so he got a man to kill him. That's weird. I guess if you're going to be killed, though, you're just dead either way, right? Yeah. That's an interesting story, isn't it? Now, I'm going to talk some more about it after you go back and sit with your parents, and you can listen to some more of it, too, all right? And see if you can learn some Bible lessons from it, okay? But you got to go back very, very quietly. Don't make any noise at all right? All right, just go back to where your parents are. You'll turn that on fan, Josh.
And so on the way home tonight, your children are going to ask you some Bible questions, so I hope you were listening. There's a lot of that about Abimelech that just is something we know. You've got to be reading that one chapter that's in the Bible to have an appreciation of it. Let me make two points. First of all, there's a principle that is involved here. When they came to Gideon and said, "Gideon, will you be our king? Will you let your son be our king and your grandsons be our king?" Gideon understood some things that hardly anybody in that nation understood. Maybe none of them understood. And that is that they already had a king. And that's what Gideon said. "I will not be your king, neither will my sons be your king, because God is your king." Sometimes when we say, "Who was the first king?" the answer that we give was Saul. But at least in a limited sense, as far as we around there, that area around Shechem, there was another man who was king, and that was Abimelech. Think about it for a moment. The kind of government that God had in mind for the Jews when they came to the promised land was a theocracy, an integration of church and state. And so whenever you read in the book of Leviticus and in the book of Exodus, you'll read all kinds of laws that have to do with what happens if the cow gets out of your pasture and goes over into your neighbor's area and does damage over there. What are you to do if you find this stray animal, and can you keep it, or what level do you have to go to give it back to somebody else? And so God designed Judaism for there to be a theocracy, theos, God, God ruling, aristocracy, democracy. We understand those words, theocracy, God rules. And so they had a theocracy. Later on, when they reject Samuel's sons from being judges, and Samuel's greatly upset when the people are saying, "Give us a king," the Lord says to Samuel, "They have not rejected you, but they have rejected me that I should be king over them." Now I want you to understand and have an appreciation for something that you may not have thought of. The Bible says that Solomon sat on the throne of David, his father. That's in Kings. In Chronicles, it says it different. Solomon sat on the throne of the Lord. There is that aspect that whenever the people rejected God from being their king, there is that, in a limited sense, that very throne on which the king sat was the throne of God, and a man was sitting on the throne of God. There's a lesson here that we need to learn. And that lesson is that God rules the universe. He is Lord of Lords and King of Kings. This is His earth, and the earth is the Lord and the fullness thereof. And so whenever the Bible says you ought to be subject under higher powers, for there is no power but of God, rulers on this earth need to understand they're not absolute rulers, not absolute authority. And the only reason that they have any authority on this earth is because with the ending of the Old Testament, there's no longer a theocracy there that has the Bible giving civil laws per se. And with the end of Judaism and God ordained that whatever government there was, even the Caesars that were in Rome, evil Caesars, that they were there because God allowed them to be there. And Romans 13 says, and you Christians ought to be glad they're there because they are the instrument that God uses to protect you. And we ought to recognize and appreciate those individuals who protect us because they are ordained of God as ministers of God for our benefit. There's the other aspect of that is this. And that is in the book of Daniel chapter 4, Nebuchadnezzar thought he was some great man. And in that story about Nebuchadnezzar, as he's walking through the palace and talking about how beautiful the palace is, a voice came out of heaven and spoke to Nebuchadnezzar and said, you'll go out and eat grass like an oxen. Your hair will be matted together like the feather of a bird until you learn one thing, and that is the Most High rules in the affairs of men and gives the kingdom to whomsoever He will. Would to God that as we face the election in the coming year, that whoever is elected understands that they are there by the very grace of God. Now, the great thing about that is, regardless of who is elected, God is still on the throne. And we ought to have an appreciation for that. And that's about where Gideon was. When they came and said, Gideon, you become king over us. And while the Bible doesn't literally depict what was in that opening picture of him taking a crown off and throwing a crown down on the ground, an artist's representation of those things, he understood something. That the best of all worlds would be where those individuals who were there recognized the authority of God, and they were the kingdom of God in a theocracy over which God reigns. I recognize that while we are citizens of a land, we are members of a kingdom that is a theocracy. I'm talking about the church, where the best people on earth in the body of Jesus let God rule their lives. Now, the God who rules our lives says, render unto Caesar the things that are Caesar. The God who rules our life says, be subject unto higher powers, for there's no power but of God. But there's a law to which we're subject even greater than that, when in the book of Acts chapter 5, they told the apostles not to preach. They said, we ought to obey God rather than man. We're citizens of the greatest spiritual theocracy that God planned from all eternity. And we ought to thank God for that. I love that concept in the book of Philippians that says in the newer translation, our citizenship is in heaven. Gideon had spiritual insight that the people of Shechem never understood. The other thing that comes out of this story is God is not mocked. Whatever a man sows, that shall he also reap. Think about what Abimelech reaped as the consequence of his action. He was, by the way, the son of a concubine. And Gideon had many wives, the Bible tells us.
And all of that may figure whenever you would understand the fact that Gideon was a lesser son than the other sons might have been. And that might, in his own mind, give us some understanding about where he was and why what he was involved in doing in relationship to that. But we do reap what we sow. God is not mocked. Whatever a man sows, that shall he also reap. And we need to appreciate the fact that that's true. That the eyes of the Lord in every place, seeing both the good and the bad that is done, and God will bring every secret thing into judgment. Every idle word that we speak will give an account thereof. We too, like Abimelech, reap what we sow. It may be that the final reaping is not on this earth. But isn't it remarkable that the words and the parable taught by Jotham, had you ever heard that parable before? That the parable taught by Jotham illustrated so graphically everything that God was about to bring about in the lives of those individuals. We're going to sing at this time, I believe, Bobo, it's 655, is that the number? As a song of invitation. And if you need to respond to this invitation as a believer in Jesus who's ready to turn your life over to Him, confess your faith in Jesus and be baptized for the remission of your sins, you can do that this very night. And leave this place with confident assurance that you're not going to reap what you sow because of forgiveness. And that's the exception of reaping what we sow. The flip side of that is, because we sow to the Spirit, we will reap what we sow when we reap everlasting life. If you're a child of God who's wandered away and needs to come home, this invitation song is for you. If you need to respond, won't you do so by coming to the front as together we stand and sing. Will you come?